Hello, hello, kiddos, smalls and bigs, adults and children's lovely peoples. Welcome back to another edition of The Stories We Tell with me, Ruby Omridula, as you might know me, and my constant companion, Anika Kaul. My constant partner in crime. Today's episode is very special because it's dedicated to a very, very special little boy who turned all of seven today.
Big number.
I am talking about a special little boy, one of my dearest friends, dearest sons. Well, not dearest sons, dearest friends, sons.
How many sons?
She's got two sons. So one of my dearest friends, dearest younger son. That's right. His name is Roy Ganguly. So Roy, this goes out to you. Happy birthday, and we hope you enjoy listening to two stories from Akbar and Birbal, as per your request, and two more that I'm going to read out.
Wait, did
about
you listen to it?
About Tenali Rama, who was a little bit like Birbal, but he was in the south of India. So Anika is going to read the two stories from Akbar and Birbal, and they are called, Anika, the Wicked Barber, is that right?
Yeah, and the Proud Astrologer.
The
Can you be one of them?
Yes.
Can you be the Wicked Barber?
The Wicked Barber? I can do, yes.
I'll hold your hand.
It's okay. The Wicked Barber. Once, if you keep it that close, then I'm going to be sputtering in the phone. It won't sound very nice.
Hello.
Once some ministers in Akbar's court made a plan to kill Birbal with the help of a royal barber. When the king required the services of the barber next, the barber talked about the king's father. He asked Akbar if he had done anything for the welfare of his dead ancestors.
You can comment if we've read this before, because I have a feeling.
I think so too. The king told the barber that it was impossible to do anything for the dead. The barber said that he knew a magician who could send a person to heaven so that he may inquire about his father.
Yes, and then die itself. And then not come back.
That's what his plan was, evil barber. The barber suggested that the best person for the job would be the wisest of all people in the kingdom, Birbal. Soon Akbar agreed to the idea, and arrangements were soon made. A grand procession was to take place in the burial grounds where the magician was supposed to light up a fire by which Birbal would go straight to the heavens. When Birbal was informed, he agreed to go in return for a large sum of money for such a long journey and a month's time to complete his family's affairs. Meanwhile, Birbal got a few trustworthy men to dig a tunnel from the burial grounds to his house. When the day arrived, the fire was lit up, and amidst all the smoke, Birbal slipped into the tunnel and went home. He remained in hiding for a few months and let his hair and beard grow long. Then he came back and informed the king his father was happy. But heaven lacked in just one thing. There was no barber up there. The king immediately asked the barber to go to heaven. The barber could not protest, as his wicked plan would have been revealed. And when the fire was lit up for the barber, he died on the spot. Ever since then, nobody dared to plot against Birbal again. Clever, witty Birbal. He knew that this was a plot to get rid of him. So he could have told the king, "Oh dear king, please don't do this. This is silly. This is very, very daft. And I really don't think you should listen to him." But he thought, let me do this. And let me actually play this the right way. So Birbal being Birbal, this is called killing two birds with one stone. He also made Akbar the king happy and also got rid of the evil barber. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to the story that Anika is going to narrate, which is... You could just find anywhere. Oh, the proud astrologer. Yeah. I'll hold this for you. Go on, Alec.
And Colin.
Okay. Come on, tell people what okay. you mean. The?
What? The proud astrologer.
Okay. And clearly.
One day. One second, just kidding.
You okay?
One day, Burr was walking. Was talking about stars and astrologers. One of the courtiers informed the king that there was an astrologer in the city who was exceptionally accurate with his predictions. He told the king that the astrologer was very proud of this and then charged a lot of money from the people to predict their future. Akbar said, "I want to meet such an astrologer myself. Go and tell him to come here by the evening." The courtier went in search for the astrologer. In the evening, the astrologer came to meet Akbar. Akbar said, "I've heard that your predictions are never wrong. I know that Akbar will not talk this posh, etc., etc." Because he's like, "I know." Very Indian accent. Yes, indeed. All right. This is embarrassing, but... The astrologer was a bit nervous in front of the king. He had never been to the royal court. He kept silent and only nodded his head. The king spoke again.
A little louder, sweetie. I know your throat.
Okay.
Is...
"I will accept that you are the best astrologer if you answer one question. Tell me, when will you die?"
Can you repeat that?
Tell me, when will you die?
When will you die? Oh.
The astrologer was just taken back.
Was taken aback.
Same thing, yeah.
Okay.
He managed to speak. "Your Majesty, give me some time to consult my chart. I will give you the answer in a few hours." The king gave him 2 hours to answer. The astrologer went outside the court and ran towards Birbal. He told him the whole story, and Birbal, after giving it a thought, told him what to do.
Told the astrologer what to do, okay. Mm-hmm.
When he returned to the court after 2 hours, he said, "Your Majesty, I've calculated my time of death. It will be 3 days before your death." Akbar did not want to know when he was going to die, so he did not take any fear. He did not ask any further questions. And told the astrologer to leave. The relief astrologer went home and promised to never brag about his knowledge in the future.
So clever Birbal. Firstly, thankfully, thanks to Birbal, the astrologer got saved. Otherwise, surely he would have been told off, right? By Akbar, that you can't even predict your own death. What kind of astrologer are you? Mm-hmm. And the poor guy would have been all kinds of stuff, wouldn't he? So, the clever thing Birbal told him was just say a few days before his death. So it doesn't matter. Whenever Akbar dies, then we'll be this. So, well done, Birbal, for always thinking on your feet. Always being quick-witted, isn't it?
I always thought that the people who went to Preston in my dreams, came back
the
holding spears and
spears
in a queue lining up to kill.
Really?
He's a really chaotic too.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, thank you for that, sweetie. Now, we are going to listen to a couple of stories by Tenali Rama. Tenali Rama was one of...
Once I tried to... It's my teacher,
uh-huh.
And started reading an Indian name and just started going like this, and she said, "I bet the nursery would be able to read it because because the nursery would like this." She was like this, "Titter, na-na-na-na." Because you know when babies like in nursery when they go like this, if you say up, but
yeah,
ak.
Oh yeah, like phonics.
But
is for Akbar. Akbar.
Mama.
K is for kettle. Kettle. B is for ball. B, b, ball. A is for apple. Ra is for Rama. Ra, ra, ra. Okay. So, So, Tenali Ramakrishna, or Tenali Ramakrishnadu, born as Garlapati Ramakrishnaya.
Did you just say Krishna dude?
Yeah, not dude. I didn't say Krishna dude. I said Tenali Ramakrishnadu, born Garlapati Ramakrishnaya, also known as Tenali Rama, right, was an Indian poet, scholar, thinker, and a special advisor in the court of Krishna Deva Raya, who ruled from 1509 to 1529. Wait, let me finish this. So, he was one of what is known as the Ashtadigaj.
Huh? Ashta what?
Digaj. That means Ashtadigaj were, by the way, the 8 Telugu scholars and poets in the court of the Emperor Krishna Deva Raya. Anika, Krishna Deva Raya was a very, very famous ruler of the Vijayanagar Empire.
Is Thinker actually a job? So if I think, oh, I know what my job is. I'm 5 years old, so I'm a thinker. I know what my job is. What's a job at the day? I'm a thinker.
No, you know. My job. So what's your job? I'm a thinker. What are you thinking about? All kinds of things. When I'll eat my next meal. When I can go out. I'm a thinker.
Yeah. Thinker, yeah.
You're a thinker. Yeah. Okay. So.
Sorry for the giggles.
So, Tenali Rama, like Birbal, was noted for his brilliance and his wit.
Oh, and he thinks.
don't make fun of him. He was a great thinker. Can you calm down?
He made it way more better. I didn't say it,
but okay, he was not thinker. Just a thinker. He was a scholar. He was an Indian poet and he was a special advisor.
Do you know what my job is? Okay. I'm a thinker and a scholar.
You're a thinker and a scholar. Okay. So, right. His great work, Panduranga Mahatmyam. You have to stop. Mahatmyam. So, finally, we've overcome our giggles, we hope. Right, so we're not going to talk anymore about Panduranga Mahatmyam, but we are going to say that he was a great, great, great man. So, moving on, let's go and talk about two stories. The first one is called
How to Think.
Not How to Think. Raman the Detective. Okay, so Tenali Raman was once walking along a forest path when he was stopped by a merchant. I'm looking for my camel, which has strayed away.
Oh, I know it.
Did you see it passing by? Asked the merchant. Had the camel hurt its leg? Asked Raman. Oh, yes. That means you have seen my camel, said the merchant. Only its footprints. See, you can see footprints of an animal with 3 legs, said Raman, pointing out the footprints on the ground. It was dragging the other leg because it was hurt in that leg. Was it blind in one eye? Raman asked the merchant. Yes, yes, said the merchant eagerly. Was it loaded with wheat on one side and sugar on the other? Asked Raman. Yes, you're right, said the merchant. So you have seen my camel, exclaimed the merchant. Raman looked upset. Did I say I saw your camel? Well, you've given the exact description of my camel, said the merchant. I saw no camel, said Raman. Do you see those plants lined up on both sides of this path? You can clearly see some animal has eaten leaves of plants on the left, but the plants on the other side remain untouched. That means the animal could only see with one eye. Now look down. You can see ants lined up on this side, which means the animal was loaded with sugar on one side. The bag had a hole, which allowed the sugar to fall off. You can also see grains of wheat on the other side. The bag on this side also must have holes in it, said Raman. I can see everything you showed me, but I can't see my camel, said the merchant. You follow this trail, and soon you will catch up with your animal. After all, it is hurt in one leg, and you seem to be hale and hearty," said Raman. The merchant took his advice and followed the trail left by the camel. Soon he caught up with the poor animal. This is all because of the hobbit. Soon he caught up with the poor animal limping along. "Rani!" the merchant shouted in happiness as he ran to his beloved camel, Rani. No, he didn't say Rani, I'm a thinker. Right, Raman, the next story, Raman outsmarts a cheat. Once upon a time, Raman set out on a long journey. In those days, one had to walk through the jungle to get to another city. On the way, another traveler joined Raman. "This place is infested with thieves. I'm afraid they will rob me. Can I travel with you?" the man asked Raman. Raman readily agreed. That night, the two of them stopped at some place to rest. Raman was tired and fell asleep soon. His companion was waiting for this moment. In fact, he was a thief who used to rob travelers. He got up and looked under Raman's pillow without disturbing him. He found nothing. He carefully searched Raman's pockets, looking for money. To his disappointment, he did not even find one single paisa. Paisa is a Indian money, which is like the equivalent of pence, isn't it, Anika? Then he opened the bundle Raman was carrying. Again, he found nothing. The next morning, the two resumed their journey. They halted for the night. Raman had a sound sleep. His companion again searched Raman's belongings, looking for money and valuables. Again, he was disappointed. The next day, the two travelers reached the holy city of Tirupati, and they had to part company. The companion confessed that he was a thief. "I've never met with failure, but this time I have failed. Now that we are parting company, please tell me, where did you hide the money in the night? I'm so frustrated," pleaded the thief. "Unless I know your secret, I may not even be able to sleep," he confessed. Raman smiled. "I knew you were a thief the moment I saw you. I took care to hide my money where you would never find it. But where? I looked for it everywhere," cried the thief. "Did you look for it under your pillow?" asked Raman. "I looked for it under your pillow and found nothing. Why should I look under my pillow for your money?" asked the bewildered thief. "Because I hid the money under your pillow. I was confident it was the one place you would never look for your own money." What a clever man. Therefore, he's a thinker. You see? Because he thinks so
cleverly. Seriously. Even a normal person can do that.
Would you have thought of this?
No, I would have put it high up in a tree.
That's what? Anyone can think of putting it high up in a tree. But he put it under the other person's own pillow. Wah, wah, Tenali Rama, kya baat hai. And on that note, I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And I hope you can all be as witty and quick-witted and smart
as
the great thinker, Tenali Rama.
Yes.
Roy, we wish you happy birthday once again. And to all the kids,
I know
sleep
what your
tight. I hope you're all looking forward to a wonderful school
little
day tomorrow.
Little babies in the world, I know what your job is. You're a thinker.
Little babies aren't thinking. They're just booing and
eating. Yeah, they think
and
to poo. They
eating.
Think.
Oh, they think about booing. All right. On that note, we wish you all good night, sleep tight, and keep thinking.